When the sun rises, I wake up and chase my dreams. I won't regret when the sun sets, 'cause I live my life like I'm a beast.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers proudly select Chris Godwin, wide receiver, Penn State.
Throws a deep sideline route toward Godwin. He can. He makes the catch. What a great grab. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Great throw. Great grab. Fire the cannons. Great protection again. Touchdown, Chris Godwin. Gets a pass toward the end of court ball, 5 yard, 3-2-1. Is he in? Is he in? He is. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin. Fire the cannons.
I'm a motherfucking beast.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at Jarko underscore Bucks, and at DH82 underscore Bucks. Coming up, we have a very exciting, very special interview to bring to all of you with Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Chris Godwin. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined now by a man who had 59 receptions for 842 yards and 7 touchdowns in his second season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Thrilled to bring back wide receiver Chris Godwin. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. And I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, we certainly appreciate having you back. You are the first player, past or present, to have multiple appearances on our show. So We certainly appreciate some of your time, and let's just dive right in, and we're gonna rip the Band-Aid right off. It was very shortly after your final game of the season that Adam Schefter announced that Dirk Koetter had been relieved of his head coaching duties. Where were you when you heard the news, and what was your initial reaction when you found out that Dirk Koetter was no longer going to be your head coach?
I'm pretty sure I was sitting in my living room, just kind of watching TV, and you know, I guess like my first like reaction was, you know, I was pretty disappointed. I mean, just like as a player, you know, just playing like under Dirk for the last 2 years, you know, I've developed the relationship with Dirk, and you know, I think he's a really good dude, and you know, he's a straightforward coach. So like as a player, you like there's no, you know, like question about like how he's feeling about like your play and the things that they're asking you to do, you know, and like I respect that. So, I was pretty disappointed, like in that regard. But I also understand that, you know, it's a business. It's a production business, and you know, we didn't perform well enough the last 2 years to, you know, to allow him to keep that job. So I recognize that, though.
Yeah, I think to the person, no matter who we speak to, whether it be a media member who's at interactions or a player like yourself, everybody speaks very highly of Dirk Koetter. But kind of like you said, mm-hmm. it's a production mm-hmm. business, and Coach Koetter, admitted that himself. As well, several times. And I kind of went back to thinking about when Jeff Fisher got fired by the Rams, because obviously they were being filmed. So it ended up being a very public event yeah. that everybody kind of got an intimate view of how that goes down. And then moving on with the Rams to a coach like Sean McVay, where now there's a whole lot of excitement around that team and around that coach specifically. And now you're in mm-hmm. that same boat where Bruce Arians is coming in. And obviously everybody from the outside is extremely excited. I know that we talked to members of his family, and they're extremely excited. How are you as a player kind of – what's your mentality kind of getting ready to prepare for an offseason and a training camp with a coach like Bruce Arians? And have you had a chance to even talk to him yet, or are you just kind of hearing things from the outside like the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I have not had, gotten a chance to speak with Coach Arians himself. I just was on the phone today with our new receivers coach, Kevin Garver. You know, just kind of like making an introduction, and you know, we got the chance to chat it up a little bit. But you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm excited about the new opportunity that's coming our way. You know, obviously, like, you know, Coach Arians, he has a great track record. And, you know, I'm like, with the talent that we have on our team, you know, like, as with the last 2 years, we have the potential to have a really good year. That being said, you know, it all comes down to the players. I think regardless of, you know, what your coaching staff is or what scheme you try to, you know, put in, I think it all comes down to whether or not the players are able to execute it at a high enough level and more consistently enough to really win games. And that's the hard thing in this league. So I think, you know, I think like once we figure that out, I think we're going to be really good as a football team. But I think just, you know, just going into this offseason, there's a bunch of uncertainty, you know, like as a player, especially as a player going through a coaching change for the first time. You know, I'm not really sure what to expect. Like, I'm not sure, like, about the new system or how things are going to operate. You know, I was really just getting comfortable with the last coaching staff and, like, how the day-to-day, you know, was operating. But, you know, I think with change comes a bit of excitement.
You take a look at the career of Bruce Arians, and he did some really incredible things with Reggie Wayne in Indianapolis, moving him from the outside to the inside. And then on an even larger scale, he did it with Larry Fitzgerald, moving him from the outside to the inside, creating new opportunities for him, increasing his touchdown receptions in the red zone, things of that nature. If you're the guy that Bruce Arians pinpoints to say, this is the guy that I want in my Larry Fitzgerald role on the inside, you know, creating those mismatches, getting those red zone opportunities, is that something that you feel you can catch on to pretty quick, or is it going to be a huge adjustment to move from being an outside receiver to almost exclusively on the inside?
I definitely think that's something that I could do. I think when you, I pride myself on, you know, being a very versatile player, that anything that the coaching staff, you know, asks me to do, you know, I'm able to make the transition and be able to do it at a high level. I think over the past 2 years, I've been one of the few guys, you know, in our receiver room that can play all three positions and actually got some, you know, some time playing all three, you know, receiver positions. You know, and so I think just knowing that moving forward, I think if that's something that I was asked to do, you know, I'd be more than happy to do it.
Wrapping up your 2018, so when we talked to you between your rookie season and your sophomore season, something that you kind of emphasized was just getting better, and now that you kind of learned how training camp goes and just the grind of the NFL season, and I'd say you were successful overall for as an individual. I mean, 20 plus more catches, 300 plus more yards than your rookie season, 6 more touchdowns in your rookie season. You didn't have to wait until week 17 this time to get in the end zone. And yeah. 10 plays of 20 plus yards. I mean, 48 first down catches. I mean, people were amazed last year of how many of your catches went for first downs. You had even more this year. Where do you feel like you've improved the most from your first year to your second year? And what are you targeting this offseason to get better coming into your third year in the NFL?
I think going from year one to year two, I think the biggest improvement that I had was just, you know, having like a better feel for the game. You know, like at each level that you play at, you know, there's certain nuances to the game that you have to learn, you have to understand in order to play fast, you know, to be a high IQ player. And that's something that I really took pride in, and just trying to get a better feel for how things work at this level in the last off season. And I think it really showed. There were a lot more plays that, you know, maybe were like off script or, you know, things that were just more like feel plays that I was able to make and because of that. And you know, I think as you guys saw, you know, I was able to take like a step up in my game and in my production. So I was pretty satisfied about that. But in terms of this offseason, you know, I plan on taking it to another level. You know, that same thing, getting even more comfortable. Like obviously we're about to learn a new system, so learning that as fast as I can and then implementing the things I've already learned and trying to add on to that more. And as well as just, you know, being more consistent throughout the entire season. You know, there was a stretch there towards the end of the year where, you know, I didn't feel like I played remotely to my, you know, to my capabilities. And, you know, I was really hard on myself about that. And then, so I just felt like in order for me to take that next step, that's something that I got to be able to do. When you look at the top receivers in the league, the top players in the league, they're able to play at a high level a day in, day out, week in, week out, and all throughout the entire season. And that's where I want to be.
During the 2018 season, of course, you guys started off the season with quarterback Jameis Winston serving his suspension, and Ryan Fitzpatrick came out and just had a phenomenal start to the season. You guys as a whole were just absolutely on fire. Jameis comes back. He takes back the starting role, has a terrible first half performance against the Cincinnati Bengals. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes back in. He plays for a few games. Then Jameis comes back in. It was this constant carousel. So when Bruce Arians was introduced as head coach, and he comes out and he says, Jameis Winston is our starting quarterback. This is Jameis's team. You know, you have a chance to win a championship when you have a quarterback, and that's what we have. Yeah. What does that do for the mentality of not just the offense, but the team, knowing every day exactly who their quarterback is, that the coach, you know, is firmly behind him? You know, does that mm-hmm. kind of help ease some of the tension? Does it make you guys a little bit more relaxed just knowing exactly where the organization stands as far as the quarterback?
I don't necessarily think that the situation caused like any tension last year, like within the team. You know, I think we were all, especially like as the receivers, we were comfortable with both quarterbacks. I think the biggest thing it does is it just relieves the questions when the from everybody outside, the questions and the scrutiny from outside about who's going to be the quarterback this week and all that unnecessary stuff. But, like Coach Arians said, we have a great quarterback in Jameis. We fully believe in his ability. And, I'm excited. I'm excited to get to work with him this offseason. I'm excited to, to have the opportunity to continue to grow, like as a young player in this league and, with our quarterback and with our new coach.
Awesome. So, Chris, talking about this offseason, I know you're saying you're kind of resting, getting your body right and stuff so you can get back to the grind of it all. What do you guys have planned this offseason? I know, like, Mike's got his website and stuff that he does. Jameis has his foundation. Are you guys starting up anything? I've seen some hashtag 12 season. I've seen some Team Godwin with a registered logo. What's all that about?
So, we're working on some stuff right now. Hopefully we're going to have a website coming out, sometime soon. I'm just selling some apparel that fans could that they can buy, if they so choose to. But yeah, like right now it's just playing with some logos, playing with some different, concepts to try to give the fans, something that they would, not only want to wear, but, feel proud about wearing it and proud about supporting me and our team and Team Godwin and all that. But, as that approach, we're going to announce that and it's going to be like more of like an official deal. But yeah, we're excited about that as well.
Okay. That'd be very exciting. I know, I've seen some of the comments. Mariah is a lot more active on social media than you are.
undoubtedly.
but I've definitely seen some good feedback when the topic came up, on the comments and everything. And mm-hmm. some of those graphics that have been going out on with you as the focal point on your Instagram, who's doing those and what's the deal behind that? Because those are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they were really awesome actually. There's a guy on Instagram. His name is Tom, but he goes by STM Productions. And like he's tagged in all of those posts. But that was just something that that my agency and myself we got together with him and tried to in order to put out more content, from my page, especially like surrounding game day, that's something I wanted to do. I wanted to post more, and I felt like that would be something that would be cool. It has some like have a new fresh idea each time, and he's a really talented guy. And as you guys saw, it was something different each week that was appealing to the guy and something that people could count on coming back each week to see.
Yeah, they were really cool. I was very impressed with them. So good to hear that you guys are branching out into some other areas. I know that your fans would be very excited to support you and what you guys are doing.
That is the hope, Hopefully, we can pull out something that's really dope for everybody, and they'll love it.
Chris, the buzz around the NFL world right now is, of course, the Super Bowl. But the Rams are in there because of an incredibly controversial non-call. If you're allowed to, I don't want to get you in any trouble. So if you don't want to answer, feel free to say, no, I'm good. Do you have a stance on defensive pass interference becoming a reviewable play? Because I mean, there's no doubt that it was defensive pass interference that went uncalled, maybe costing your division rival New Orleans Saints to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But do you feel that's something that should be reviewable in the NFL, or is it one of those? Yeah, it was horrendously missed, but that's part of the game. We have to account for human error, and let's not put ourselves in a situation to let the refs make a call or miss a call that can cost us.
Yeah, I obviously that was a wild call or no call. You know, I'm still like, you know, pretty shocked about it, as I'm sure everybody else is. But I don't know how I feel about you know, the potential like reviewing like pass interference, defensive pass interference. You know, especially like late in games. Like as bad as that might have been, I just feel like when you open a door for that. It could be a slippery slope, you know, because then, you know, let's say next year comes in and it's an egregious, you know, holding call or non-holding call, you know what I mean? Then it's like, you already opened up the door, so why not review it? And I think when you look at the reviews for, you know, for penalties and stuff like that, I think everything looks like a penalty in slow motion. I'm sure you can find a penalty on every single play. And, you know, at that point, you know, it's just, like I said, it's a slippery slope. So I don't know if I'm in favor of that.
Okay.
I agree 100% with everything you just said, Chris.
Yeah. I do too.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks like really bad.
Yeah, it definitely does. And it sounds good in theory, but I just, you know, I don't know about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that it had to happen. And I mean, for Saints fans to have that hit them in the postseason right after, you know, last year with Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's just, yeah. That's rough.
I feel for them. That's good. And I would be just as livid as they are, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But I agree with what you're saying. I think we don't need football to become a 6 hour, you know, a 6 hour.
Definitely do not, man.
So talking about the Super Bowl, obviously, this is coming up, right? So, so who you got? Are you betting against Belichick and Brady, or are you thinking the path to pull this one off?
Man, that is a tough question. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can bet against Tom Brady, man. I just like all year and like over the last couple of years, you know, all the talk has been about how he's going to be declining soon, and you know, they can't keep pulling this off, and how they didn't have that great of a team this year. But I mean, like, it's every single year, man, they're in this thing. And I just like, I don't know if I can go against them. So I guess I'm picking the Patriots in this one.
Yeah. I can't blame you for that. I think for a player as young as you are, maybe you're just blessed that you're young enough that he will hopefully retire while you're still playing.
Yeah. Hopefully. Tom be out there 56 years old slinging it.
As long as he's getting rid of that ball in under 2 seconds, he'll be able to stand back there.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Chris, what are the goals for 2019? Are you and Mike Evans going to become, you know, the second Buccaneers wide receiver tandem to both go over 1,000 yards? What are we shooting for?
I mean, that would be great. You know, I think that would be ideal, just because then that more than likely that means that, you know, we're having team success, you know. And I'm not really like typically a guy that shoots for a lot of like individual stats, because, you know, like the biggest thing that matters to me is just winning. Like I could have, you know, the worst year of my career, but if we're in a Super Bowl, man, we win the Super Bowl, I'm like, man, don't worry about it. Like, we just won the Super Bowl, you know. But, obviously, like, everybody wants to be a part of the team's success, and so I feel like that would be ideal. But also, I just think that, like, we have so many talented guys in our room that, you know, who's to say that we can't have, you know, more than two guys? Who's to say we can't have three or four, you know?
I like that.
I think that would be ideal, that, you know, we all can kind of get off and, you know, and have a great season and you know, reach heights that people never reached before. I think that should always be the goal, you know, as a player. Just try to be the best that you can be, and why not try to be the best ever, you know?
Absolutely. All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for some of your time today. We really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Once again, a big thank you to Chris Godwin for some of his time on a Friday afternoon. Really appreciate him coming back on the show. Hopefully, it's not the last time, and we'll try to get Chris back on sometime in the near future. But he's a busy guy, and he's enjoying his offseason with Mariah. But, of course, you can check out everything that he's doing over on Twitter at CG12 underscore. That's 12 spelled out, not numerical, CGTWELVE. Underscore, and you can check out everything that David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco underscore Bucks, and at DH82 underscore Bucks. Hope you all have a wonderful, safe, and enjoyable weekend, and thank you all so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.
Back to make you run around again like it's a fire. I spit acid dips like I got cyanide in my saliva. Watch me wet and heat it up like I'm a washer in a dryer. Well, I beat you in your head until you tired.
I'm a motherfucker.
See the baby got a money and it's open. I'm doing it again, tripping in my own skin. Gotta get the wild and I get in the bullpen. Look at me wishing it had to be hoping. That I would have managed and I stop and I will finish. But I drop and always kill like in the hotter than a skillet. Think you fuck off with the guard, you gotta be joking. Every single time you and see me step inside the door.
Beware.